Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Anne Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Here we are, the fourth week of Lent. Please, I beg you, and if you've already done it, blessed be God, but for those who haven't, I beg you, look at your life and say to yourself, what's the biggest obstacle to my knowing God? What's the biggest obstacle in my life over which I have some control? What is it in my life that keeps me back from following him or growing in the Christian life? You can't be static. You'll stagnate. That's not what God has for you. God has a living relationship with him for you. He wants it, but he gives you free will. Make the choice. The opening prayer today says this: O God, who renew the world through mysteries beyond all telling, grant, we pray, that your church may be guided by your eternal design and not be deprived of your help in this present age. How much we need it, individually and corporately, as a nation, as the church, we need him. Scripture says, cry out full-throated and unsparingly. Ask God's forgiveness in your own life. Don't be afraid to admit you actually are set free. Instead of it making you depressed or discouraged or despondent in some way, it will set you free. Don't be afraid to face your sin and ask for forgiveness. First reading today is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 to 21. Thus says the Lord, lo, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing in and happiness in what I create. For I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and exult in my people. No longer shall the sound of weeping be heard there, or the sound of crying. No longer shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not round out his full lifetime. He dies a mere youth who reaches but 100 years. And he who fails of 100 shall be thought accursed. They shall live in the houses they built and eat the fruit of the vineyards they plant. He's describing a freedom that's not just material, but spiritual. That even while you live on this earth, he's describing what he wants for us. Read what he tells us. Read what he promises. If you haven't begun really reading Scripture every day, start today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Start today. Read a chapter. Read one psalm. Read a gospel, section from the gospel. Every day, just read it. And say, Lord, help me that these words might come into my heart, this living word might come into my heart and change me. Give me more of your heart and more of your mind. Lead me, show me, teach me. That's how you pray. Ask forgiveness when you fail. Go as quickly as you can. Ask forgiveness. God will forgive. Psalm 30 tells us, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. And I've just described, he won't violate our free will. He won't try to grab us in a sense of to coerce us. He won't do that. He waits for you to come and say, Lord, I don't even know how to repent. I don't know where to start. Just say that to him. Help me, show me, lead me, Lord, because I want to become your disciple. I want to become a true follower. I don't just want to have the name Christian, Catholic. I want to be it. but I need you to teach me and help me. Pray like that. And then read the scriptures every day and repent from sin as often as you can. As I've said in earlier programs, go to the sacrament of reconciliation at least a couple of times during Lent. Be before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Let the power of his presence change you. It will. Read his word. Let your life, let your thinking, let your priorities be shaped by its priorities. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones. Give thanks to his holy name, for his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in. When we're in night, when we're discouraged, when we're in pain, when we're suffering, when we've had a terrible shock, at nightfall, weeping enters in. But with the dawn, rejoicing, I will restore, I will heal, I will make well. Trust him. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger lasts but a moment. His goodwill lasts a lifetime. His anger lasts but a moment. When you repent, it's gone. At nightfall, weeping enters in. But with the dawn, rejoicing, the times of darkness and heaviness and pain in our world. Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever will I give you thanks. May those last verses be what you pray in the coming months. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord my God, forever will I give you thanks. Trust him, wait on him, serve him, be faithful to prayer, love one another, care for one another, repent when you fail. Just doing those things day in and day out, the shackles will fall off you, the ropes will be broken, and you'll come to a freedom that you have not experienced before. That's what God has in store for you. So make use of this time, this Lenten season, to return to the Lord if you have been away for a long time, or to come to him for the first time and ask, just say, Lord, I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Teach me. Teach me. And then read the readings for the day. Read scripture. Ponder what Christ says. And believe me, you will experience a growing change. Takes a while. As God has to, he never violates your free will. Always remember that. So give him permission. Watch what he does. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. And then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now there was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, who was near death. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." Jesus is exasperated. "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And the royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." That royal official whose son was ill and who comes to him, his son is near death. And then Jesus says to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And the royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." In other words, the approaching death of his son was the one thing that enabled him to humble himself. Even if he didn't understand much, he humbled himself and begged that Jesus would come. And Jesus said to him, "You may go. Your son will live. So Jesus saw in his heart the beginnings of genuine faith and his perseverance and persistence. And Jesus says to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the royal official might have been just kind of shaking his head. You know, I'm not there anymore. I'm not there. Come down, please, before my child dies. He humbled himself before God. And Jesus says to him, you may go. Your son will live. And while the man was on his way back, he's made a journey to see Jesus. And when he's on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He didn't send a messenger to get Jesus to come. He came himself. It's a sign of how desperate he was. Because if you're in position of great power, you assign all these things to other people to make them all happen for you. But not here. This man loves his son, and he's willing to humble himself. He's willing to cry out to Jesus. The man believed what Jesus said to him and left. And while the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover, and they told him the fever left him yesterday about 1 p.m. And the father realized that just at that time, Jesus had said to him, your son will live. Think about that. Think how awesome that must have been. And look what happened. He and his whole family acted on that. They didn't just say, oh, that was wonderful. That was coincidental. That was a little miracle. No, what did they do? What did they do? His whole household began to believe. His whole household came to faith. What a moment that must have been. What a time that must have been. Now, this was the second sign Jesus did when he came to Galilee from Judea. I want to underscore here that this man, this royal official who came to Jesus, he's expecting, or perhaps he was hoping, that Jesus would say, he's done, he's fine. But the father goes back, not really knowing. He only hears the words of Jesus. But he's got, for some reason, he has some faith. And that's a gift from God. And he walks home. And they meet him on the road and they tell him, effectively, what Jesus just told you is true. Your son will live. Can you imagine? In the days when they didn't have the medical help that we have, can you imagine what that would mean for him? And what happens? His whole household came to believe. They came to put their trust in God, not just say the words, not just have a little party, but they changed their lives. And that's what I'm praying that Lent will do for you, that your openness to God, your willingness to face some particular area that impedes your relationship with God, that you have the grace to open your heart to God, receive all that he has for you, that you too may be well. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.